Every word that I speak to you, I'm going to be held accountable for. I shall be judged for every word. And so with that, I go before the Lord and I seek His face. And there are times I say, Lord, I don't want to share that message. And He says, well, am I not Lord over your life? Are you not speaking my words? Do not be afraid of man or woman. Do not be afraid by opinion. But speak my word and speak it clearly. And then He will bring the revelation. That's what God is us desiring to do in every aspect of our lives. Praise be to God. And Father, I ask right now that You would prepare our hearts and minds to hear Your word. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would affirm the words that are giving forth today and have been given forth today from the very time of the greeting at the beginning of this service to the very end, the blessing towards the end. May You confirm Your word, oh God. May it be established in the hearts and the minds of Your people that we would not run to and fro hearing all these voices, but hear the literal voice of our shepherd Yeshua. And that we would feel the presence of the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. Although we may not agree on this or that, but Lord, as You give revelation in Your word, as I've read Your word many, many times, but the Holy Spirit says, no, dig a little bit deeper. And if you dig a little bit deeper, then I will open up your eyes to greater revelation than you've ever seen before. And then you should truly be walking in the ways of the Lord. Not by your traditions, but by what the Lord says. For thus saith the Lord on these matters. For Lord, I know we're entering that time of latter days where we will have to hear that still small voice. And know that it is You that is leading and guiding us in all our provision. To Your name be all praise and glory and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen. Praise God. Today's message is entitled, Sheep or Goat, Yeshua Will Judge. Now that sounds really, really harsh, does it not? But He's the one that judges the motivation of our hearts. He judges our thoughts in all these portions. So now if you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Chapter 25 and verse 31. And I'll give you a little background on while you're turning there. When was this message given? It was given the very last message after a series of parables that is stories that Yeshua gave. What is the setting here? He is about to celebrate Pesach. And this is not just simply a story. When I was attending Bible college, there were some liberal students that were there from a very liberal background. And when the one teacher started teaching on, the professor, on the parables, they asked for dialogue. And you know what the liberal students said? Oh, these are just fictitious stories that have a nice little saying, but you don't got to take them very, very seriously. And the professor said, so in other words, you believe that God had allowed men and women to sacrifice their lives for centuries so that we could even have this book for just little minuets of meaningless stories. And he said, think of this. Just consider this for you as you spend time before the Lord when you're not in this class. Consider this. Who spoke these words? It was Yeshua. Did Yeshua ever tell a lie? The student said, no. Then should you not take these serious? Pray about that. Get the mind of the Lord on this. Because what the professor was training us to do is to simply read the scripture. We knew the stories, very, very familiar. But dig a little bit deeper and then get the mind of the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Praise God. So let us now begin in Matthew 25 and verse 31. And the Lord said, do not do this dramatically because He wants these words to come out as a still small voice. Verse 31. And when the Son of Man comes in His glory, accompanied by His angels, and He will sit on His glorious throne. all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from goats. The sheep he will place on his right hand and the goats his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you whom my father has blessed, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you from the founding of the world, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you made me your guest. I needed clothes and you provided them. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the people who had done what God wants will reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and make you our guest, or needing clothes and provide them? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will say to them, yes, I tell you that whatever you did, to these things, for the one of the least important of these my brothers of mine, you did them to me. Then he will also speak to those on his left, saying, get away from me, for you are cursed. Go off into the fire prepared for the adversary and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food, thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink, a stranger, and you did not welcome me, needing clothes, you did not give them to me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. They too will reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and a stranger and needing clothes, sick or in prison, and not take care of you? And he will answer them, yes, I tell you that whenever you refuse to do it for the least and important of these, you refuse to do it for me. Then they will go off into eternal punishment. To those who have done what God wants will go to eternal life. Now remember the setting here, my brothers and sisters. It's about Passover time. And this is a very, very important time, because what lays before Yeshua? The shadow of the execution stake or the cross. That's what is here before him. He sees all this as it's happening before him. But what is he? Who's he saying this directly to? The 12. And one of the 12 is whom? Judas the betrayer. He knows prior to this, because Yeshua knows the Tanakh, it declares that there will be one son that's called the son of perdition, the son of judgment. He knows and he sees him being, he's the one that actually forms this child in Judas' mother's womb, allows him to live. He goes to synagogue as a boy. He hears the word of God, but there's a bent in his heart in another direction. He's the chosen one, just like Yeshua is our chosen one, but he is chosen for destruction. God knows our hearts even before we're born. What did he say in the scripture? He knew both Jacob and Esau. And God decided, I love Jacob, but I hate Esau. Because he knew the heart, he knew the bent that's going on here. God knows my bent and yours. God knows right now, before I was born, that when I stand before him in glory, whether he's going to say, Frank, you go to the left, or Frank, you go to the right. He knows. Do I have a free will in it? Absolutely. Did Judas have a free will in betraying Messiah? Absolutely. And just think of this. He was one of the 12 that heard this story prior to Pesach. And what did he do at Pesach? Prior to that, he went and he visited with the priests. He prepared the way for the Son of Man to die. But Yeshua said this, no one take my life, I lay it down of my own accord. Okay? And so we can see right here this transition that's going on. And in all cases here, it would just appear that this was the most darkest time. Because it appears right now that the Prince of Darkness is hovering over this whole scene. And he's ready to strike. He thinks, finally, I'm going to get at this guy. I'm finally going to put him to death. And so this scene is set here. And that's the backdrop that we have in this scripture. And I've read it many, many, many times, and I thought, well, Yeshua is just talking about the poor in the world. So if I run to and fro and I meet the needs of the poor, I'm safe. Really? Let's continue with the scripture here. At the present time, as recorded in the Good News, Yeshua's service to Abba, Messiah ben Joseph, the suffering servant of his first coming. That's what he was doing at this time. Yeshua's second coming after the great tribulation, that's now he's speaking forth in the future what he's talking about now, the judgment. Here it is, as he comes as Messiah Malachim, that is King, Son of David. He's called the ruling King of Israel. When he comes back, he will be doing this judgment, as he spoke in the scripture here. As I said before, it's just before the last celebration of Passover Pesach. Now Yeshua shares these facts, and these words are important, so the Lord says, remind the people yet again. Matthew 25, 31, 33, and when the Son of Man comes in His glory, when He comes in His glory, continuing, accompanied by all the angels. That's a future date. Let's continue. He will sit on His throne. Where? In Jerusalem. Let's continue here. And all the peoples will be assembled before Him. Everyone. You and I. Let's continue. And He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. You to the left, you to the right. The sheep He will place on His right hand, and the goats on His left. It is hard for us to remember that these words were spoken by a man standing at the very ending of a day on the Mount of Olives. He was in the middle of a tiny group of men who seemed to be forsaken. And now they were looking over the city. At this very moment, His enemies were planning to arrest Him. Judas was about to arrest Him after Pesach. Yeshua saw all things, past, present, and future, all at one time. For who is Yeshua? He is God manifested in the flesh. Nothing is hid from Him. Let's continue. When Yeshua uttered these words, by every human appearance, it seemed like He was defeated. Let's continue. The very powers of darkness appear to be triumphant, but now the execution stake in the cross now casts its shadow over its path. The crowds that at one time had followed Him and they sang forth His praises were now gone. Where are they? Watch those who praise you. Look out for praise of men and women. His friends were fearful and they appeared powerless. One of them was even set to betray Him. Yet as He examined the centuries yet to come, that's Yeshua now looking in the future, He glimpsed a distant light that was yet to come. Now without doubt in His words, because you know what? He was beginning to feel the isolation here. He knew what was going to go on at the Mount of Olives when he went before the Father and said, Father, if there be any other way, and He was sweating great drops of blood on our behalf. His humanity was battling with His divinity. His humanity did not want to die, but His divinity knew the Father's will. There are times you and I are asked to do the Father's will, and it's way beyond us. And at that time, we have to go before the Lord and say, Lord, fill me with Your ruach. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with the words. Fill me with the wisdom. Fill me with the understanding. Otherwise, I cannot stand. I cannot serve you, Lord. So you have to. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Have you had those times? I have. You're going to continue having those times as long as you're here on the face of this earth. And when you come to the end of yourselves, just like Yeshua did, crying out to the Father, if there be any other way, the scripture says that then he was empowered. Then he was equipped by the power of the Spirit of the living God. Imagine this, my brothers and sisters. He faced every trial and temptation that you and I will face and beyond, and he was victorious. Amen? And so can we in everything that we face in our lives. Let's continue. In that hour, evil appeared to be victorious. What appeared to be a human defeat, Yeshua declared. And this is now he's looking in the future, although experiencing what's going on right now. What he knew what was before him. Dying, the worst death a person could possibly die at that time. Being put on the execution stake, the cross, to die for all man's sins. This was the will of the Father. This is why he came. He had the choice right there. Some of us forget how many times that Yeshua was tempted by the devil. You think it just happened that one time that's recorded? I believe that he was tempted by the devil his whole entire life on this earth. But he was more than a conqueror. For those who are in whom? In Messiah, he prepared the way. Let's continue. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, Yeshua will sit on his glorious throne. And before Yeshua will be gathered all the peoples, for a time of judgment has come. What does the scripture say? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. God's going to repay me for every word I've spoken, every thought I had, every deed I've done. I'm going to have to give an answer to him. I will not have a defense attorney. I'll just be standing before my judge, who is Yeshua. Let's continue. Some translations say in this portion, nations instead of peoples. This can lead to confusion. The thoughts of nations as groups, that is the same as, remember that Babylon was judged and Assyria was judged? That's why a better translation of the world is peoples and actually individuals. At that moment, families will be separated. Spouses. Some will be goats, some will be sheep. Oh, brother, how dare you say something like that? Really? What does the scripture say? In the end days, it says that there will be a sword brought in to every household. And those that want to walk with the Lord, and they seek after him with all their heart, mind, and strength, that there will be divisions in households. In the last days, it says that children will turn over their parents and their grandparents to be put to death. That's what the scripture says. Are we ready? Is Yeshua the most precious relationship that you have in your life, beyond the one that you have with your spouse? Beyond the relationship you have with your children? Is he Lord over all your relationships? And in your relationship with the Lord, is he allowing those other relationships to draw to him instead of you? Let's continue. The purpose of the judgment is obviously to determine who shall enter the kingdom of God which Yeshua has come to establish. All the great teachings of Yeshua in the good news, his passion of his heart, was to see the will of Abba, our Father, on earth as it is in heaven. Is his will being lived out in our hearts and minds? Eat up every day the will of the Father. I was beat up all this week by these words. You're hearing it just for a short time. The Holy Spirit was refining me as fire through this whole week, asking me these questions. So, Frank, What do you think? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Yeshua will reveal himself in the power of the very words of the, given to the prophets. A earth will be filled with the righteousness of God as waters cover the sea. But only the righteous will enter. Not walking in our own righteousness, our religious traditions. And we can even have messianic congregation traditions. Don't go there, Frank. I have to. If our traditions we put before the Lord, our relationship with Yeshua, I believe the Lord would say, it's a season for you to walk away from those traditions. Am I not preeminent in your life? Am I not God? Who do you worship, your traditions? Or do you worship Yeshua? Let's continue. We must recognize that this is a judgment of sheep and goats, not of sheep and wolves. That is believers and non-believers. This is a where he's actually going to be dividing those who truly are hearing his voice and walking in obedience with him. And I'll testify before you with both hands raised. There have been times in my life when I have not been walking in the will of God. And I have not been obeying his word. And for me to stand before you and say that has never happened, that is a lie. And by that very statement there, if I tried to propose that to you, I would be then immediately put in that left-hand category. That's what's going to come down to, my brothers and sisters. Are we making ourselves ready? Yeshua is not choosing between the obviously bad and the obviously good. There is no division here between the opponents of the good news and the believers in it. This is called judgment in the house of the Lord. Let's continue. The separation here is made in the very hour of the appearing of Yeshua in the power and glory. As Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, revealed to us in 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9, when Adonai Yeshua is revealed from the heaven with his mighty angel, the good nourishing flame, then Yeshua will punish those who do not obey the good news of Adonai Yeshua. They will suffer punishment of the eternal destruction and be far away from the face of the Lord and the glory of his might. But in judgment of the sheep and goats, Yeshua is distinguishing sharply among the persons, all whom profess to be believers, for they all claim to belong to him as members of God's family. Let's continue. It is a separation of hypocrites from real. I've been a hypocrite before, and I'm a believer. I'm confessing that to you. Otherwise, I'd be standing lying before you. It is between the false and the true. The third group is mentioned here. It's called the least of my brothers. Who are they? They are Jewish believers through the ages who are closely identified with the Lord. See, this wasn't just for this time, just a nice little story for his disciples. But this was to be used for millions of believers and disciples yet to be born, and we are they. Let's continue here. The Lord Yeshua says to both the sheep and the goats, as you did it not to me, the one of the least, as you brothers, you did it not to me. And so as you did it to them unknowingly, you did it unto me. Let's continue. In Matthew 25:34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you whom my Father has blessed. What does that blessing mean here? That you got billions of dollars in your account? No. That you're eternally never sick? No. That means that you're walking in the will and the ways of the Lord, and you're hearing his voice, and you're walking therein. You're being obedient to him. Let's continue. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the founding of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you made me your guest. I needed clothes and you provided them. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Yeshua is clearly saying the evidence of a true believer is not doctrine, nor faith, nor Bible knowledge. I've met many, many people, ministers of the gospel, that can quote scripture after scripture after scripture, but in their home life and in their daily life, you would not even know they're a believer. Have you been there? Sins? I have. Have you done that? I have. Though our sins be as scarlet, Yeshua shall make them white as snow. Confess your sins to one another. Forgive one another. For He will be faithful and just to remove you from all sins if you're willing to lay down and die and allow us to be washed by His precious blood. Bible knowledge, but the concern which He now shows to those who are in need. The practical demonstration of love is our final proof. How you love one another. How you love the Jewish people. How you love the Jewish people who do not even know Messiah. As they're punching you in the face and calling you all kinds of names and saying to you, you have left the faith of your fathers and now you become the enemy of God. In the midst of that, you are to love them and show them God's grace and mercy. Are you willing to lay your life down for the Jewish people to be saved? You have to answer that question. And the Lord will give you the power and the strength. He'll give you wisdom and knowledge. God does this process. Let's continue. Yeshua does not ask anyone to present your case. Okay, Frank, come up here. Tell me why you cannot be with the goats over there. He doesn't ask me. He asks no questions or He does not request any evidence. You know why? He knows my heart. He knows my bent. So there's no argument. And if He's truly Lord, when I stand before Him that day and He says, Frank, over there with the goats, what kind of argument do you think I can give Him? None. Let's continue. Yeshua simply invites them. He says, come you who my Father has blessed, inherit the kingdom. Yeshua has based His choice by them, meeting someone else's need. We've gone through the ages, haven't we? What have you heard in the congregations time and time again? The sign that you're blessed and anointed of God is because how much money you got in your bank account. Lies from hell. But how about meeting your brother and sister in need? Have you been doing that? Let's continue. If you help them, you have helped me, Yeshua declared. And the sheep who inherit the kingdom are those who have responded to these needs of love and concern and ministry. They have probably done so at the considerable cost and risks of themselves. Have you been there? Are you doing it now? But no matter what they did or what that they could, now with the goats, it becomes the opposite story. Matthew 25:41. Then Yeshua will say to those on His left hand, depart from me, you cursed. He calls them cursed. What happened to the fig tree? When He inspected, it was full of leaves. That's the believer that bears no fruit. Well, Frank, I prayed the prayer. Way back when. And I've did all these nice things for people. I've sat in a congregation. I've heard sermon after sermon preached. I tithe. I gave my offerings. I did all these things. But where's your fruit? So that here, the word cursed. You are cursed into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For what did Hasatan do? And the third of angels that went after him? They rebelled from the manifestation that was in their hearts. Thirsty, let's continue. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison you did not visit me. The seriousness of this matter of helping the needy is seen in such severity of the Lord's words here. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil, that is Hasatan and his angels. We must realize that these people honestly think that they're sheep. They're staying there as goats. They can point to the moment when they made the profession of faith in Yeshua. They are members in good standing in their congregation, but they have ignored the pleas for help. They now stand as goats, false sheep, who never were sheep at all. They joined a congregation. They prayed a prayer. I was at one time in my life where I just was a brand new baby believer in the Messiah. And I could have just continued to be in a congregation, go through all the form and ritual, give my tithes and offerings, be a member in good standing, but never have a relationship with the Lord. How many times as a young believer did I read the Word of God? How many times do we honestly read God, the Word of God, or would even dare to bring this into the sanctuary of the Most High God? I look at no one, I judge no one. We're to be people of the Word. And if we're not digging in it now, how are you going to stand in the future? Yes, you'll be able to overcome things by allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you and lead you into all things. But we're to have what? The Word hid in our hearts. Who's that responsibility? Is it the rabbis? The Shabbat school teachers? No, it's our responsibility. And that's what Yeshua is saying through these words. What about your responsibility? Let's continue. They now stand as goats, false sheep, who have never were sheep at all. Their shared reaction of both the sheep and the goats by Yeshua's words are stunned surprised. Both groups here. If you closely read the scripture, they're just completely blown out of their minds. Really? Yes. Let's continue here. Then Matthew 25:37. Then the righteous will ask him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The issue really is one of faith. The sheep are asked to take their place on the right there of the throne because all through their lives, they lived out genuine faith. There was actual fruit, abiding fruit, that was pleasing in the Lord's eyes. This caused by and for Yeshua, they had been responding to the pleas and the needs of those around him. And they were touching the very heart of God by doing so. That was their motivation. Not to be seen by others. Oh, look what a great guy Frank is. Did you see how benevolent he is? That stinks in God's eyes. When we give benevolence to be seen. Let's continue. They kept no records. They did not expect no praise. For them, it was a privilege to love the Lord. They had no idea that they were doing anything special. But they had found now joy in helping others. No acts of kindness ever escaped the eye of Yeshua. The things that you do in secret, when you bless your brothers and sisters, and I'm speaking to prayer warriors right now, you intercessors who are woken up in the middle of the night, the Lord shows you a face of an individual. Sometimes it's your brother and sister Messiah. Sometimes it's someone you've never known. And the Spirit of God is there in a still, quiet voice and say, now intercede, pray for this person. Those are opportunities there, my brothers and sisters, for us not to earn, but for Yeshua to say, okay, I woke Frank up this night. I showed him this person's face. He didn't know who that was. And now let's see what Frank does. Oh, Lord, I'm too tired. Bother me tomorrow. Or was there times when I said to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I don't even know how to pray for this person. And the Spirit says, well, just praying the Spirit, dummy. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to me very, very directly like that. Because he has to. get my attention. And then I would spend time interceding and praying for someone I've never met. But in heaven, I know this is going to happen. There'll be people walking up to you and I and saying this, I was in a trial. I was going through tribulation. And the Lord showed me that you were praying for me. And you interceded on my behalf. And the Lord will bring that memory to your memory. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be a time of rejoicing. Because then, you know what? You were an answer to prayer and you didn't even know it. You didn't know the situation. There have been many times the Lord hasn't told me the situation. But he said, intercede. Just like when the sister came up here this morning. I didn't know what was going to happen. But the Lord, let her come, let her share. And what you saw happen. There are times where we just got to trust the Lord and let things go. That the Lord may lead and guide. And allow then the empowering of the sisters in Messiah to fulfill God's ordained calling on their lives, to them to walk and do their ministry. The Lord saw today, and he rejoiced on what the sisters in the Lord showing love one towards another. Let's continue. No act of kindness ever escapes the eye of Yeshua. He has no reason to examine these sheep now, because they have stored treasures in heaven. Let's continue. But the goats are equally surprised. They too are caught off guard by this judgment. Are you kidding me, Lord? I'm the member of the congregation. Remember, I prayed that prayer. They believe that because they have done good works, that they are safe by giving out money, maybe many hours of charity, etc. To these self-justifying persons, Yeshua replies, Amen. Or some translations say, truly, truly, I say to you, as you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. And they are completely stunned. Because who are they hearing this judgment from? But Yeshua, amazing, knows everything. Nothing is hid before him. It's amazing. The times of my life, I've tried to argue with God. He says, Frank, walk therein. And I'll stand there and say, no, Lord. I've learned not to argue, but say, okay, how many steps should I take? And what do you want me to do? And start moving. Go in that direction. Yeshua declared on the Sermon on the Mount, be careful what your good works are not seen by men, because then you have already received your reward. Even in your own works, they are not to be publicly known. They are to be from your own private or form your own private satisfaction. They are both in the same category. There are things that we do behind the scenes that then we receive the reward there. Because we think, oh, I'm being cool, I'm hiding all these things. But now let us look what Matthew chapter 6, 1 says. Be careful not to parade your acts of righteousness in front of people in order to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you do those righteous acts, don't announce it with trumpets to win people's reward like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets. Yes, I tell you, they have their reward already. But you, when you do it, these righteous acts, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Then your righteous acts will be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will see what you do in secret, and he will openly reward you. As a young believer, I used to put change in my pockets. And when it was the offering time, I took literally this word. And I would just dig in there and say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to look, I'm not going to count, and I'm going to put that in an offering. I know what, being a minister over different congregations, there were some young men and women, you know what they do? They'd bring their whole paycheck and they would endorse it. And when the offering came along, they'd put it in there. I was not putting pressure on them to give a great offering, but you know what happened? Afterwards, the ushers, they came up to me and they said, Brother Frank, we just got to show this to you. They didn't show me the check, but they showed me the person's pay stub. They said, what should we do with it? I said, give it back to that person. But that was a generosity of these young people. They want to give everything to the Lord. They give hilariously and generously unto what God desired them to do. And what a blessing they shall receive, for they have placed treasures that are in heaven. Let's continue. Do not. Yeshua says that this, do not take note of what you do yourself, but you're to do it privately, and then go and pat yourself on the back. That's not acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. We're to give hilariously. We're to give unconsciously to the Lord in all these areas. We're to be creative in all these things. Last part here is how we judge and how Yeshua judges. Nothing reveals to us how Yeshua and we judge differently. But after we examine the warning of both the sheep and the goats, all our treasures, all our good works are to be judged, and so will we. We must practice unconscious, unplanned good works to love without seeking any repay. Do you ever serve the Lord just for the sake of serving the Lord and desire for no one to see it? Has there ever been times when the Lord has put a need on your heart and you just go ahead and you walk up to someone's Bible? You'll get an envelope. You'll put some cash in there. When that person leaves and they go do something, you walk up there, you open up their Bible, and you slip in the envelope and you close it. And you do it when no one's watching. Those are examples of giving that blesses the Lord. For God, when that dear brother and sister get home and they're sitting there opening up the scripture and they're praying for God, God, meet my needs. And they open up the Bible and all of a sudden there's a bulk in there. What's this? They open it up. They open up, they see the cash there, and they don't know who to thank. But they thank the Lord. But you know what? The Lord writes that down and says, my child has done this out of love and compassion in their heart. And in so meeting their brothers and sisters' needs, they have met my need. That's the tone that the Lord wants us towards one another. We must be willing to become like Yeshua, to allow him to live his life in and through us. We must now be dependent on the indwelling of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who is at work with us. This is the one who will lead us into all truth as we do all trust in his name. Let's continue. Watch at all times. This is from Luke 21:36. Praying that you have the strength to escape all things that will take place and to stand before Yeshua, the Son of Man. And now in closing, we are to heed Yeshua's warning. This is from the book of Jeremiah 17:9-10. And when the Lord gave me this scripture, he said, I want you to read it and don't say nothing. And I said, oh, clear your mind and allow the Spirit of the living God to speak to you. And I said, okay, Lord. The heart is more deceitful than anything else. It is mortally sick. Who can fathom it? I, Adonai, search the heart. I test the inner motivations in order to give everyone what is his actions and his conducts deserve. Another translation. The heart is deceitful above all things, beyond all cure. Who can understand it? The Lord searches the heart and examines the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to that which his deeds deserve. So in all this, what is required? Repentance is required. And the fruits of repentance is the unconscious good works of meeting the least of Yeshua's brothers and sisters. Amen? That's what the Lord desires. True fruits of repentance and true fruits of the gospel being lived out in our daily lives. Because when we get to that day, my brothers and sisters, and I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with you, and we're assembled as all the peoples before the Lord, and he's sitting on his glorious throne, and who is he sent out? His messengers, the angels, to draw us all in. Just as Brother Doug, as many amen, time said, working in the ministry is like herding cats. Amen? And he will be herding cats like me in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord, I'll be standing before him. And he'll be simply looking me straight in the eye. I got to look at, not in nobody's eye right now, but looking me straight in the eye and then saying, you're here, Frank, on the left, or Frank, you're here on the right. And that's what he's going to do for everyone that day. And then those that are then sent and separate from him, that's his judgment. Do you love the love of your soul to judge every thought and action that you'll ever do in your life? And to know this, that he sent you the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God who wants to lead us into all truth, so that when there's sin in our lives, we may be able to go, therefore, and repent. Because what the Lord is doing, he's selecting his bride now. The invitations have been sent. We see their invitation. We open those invitations. But this is what we must do. Are we daily preparing ourselves to be the bride of Messiah? Only we can answer that question. Praise be God. Brother Patrick.